Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the economic bubble right after this. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was roughly 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to only 38 days. Now, the global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, as I call them, plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. Well, that's what they tell us, and it comes right out of the Club of Rome. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same words by using the terms false prophets, war, famine, and disease. In 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food, food for the rest of the world and for you and me. Today, we Americans have chosen to live in the city. And today, only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of Americans are no longer self-sufficient in food production. We produce grain for export, all right. And then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply in the United States of America is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 World Population Control Program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send an email request for that general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about food storage. Actually, there's three things that we have to have, three things that our great-grandfathers provided their families with every year, year in and year out: food, clothing, and shelter. Americans are no longer concerned about food, clothing, and shelter because they don't even need credit to go down and buy a house. The government is so busy pumping out money that even if your credit is no good, like mine is no good, George Gordon has bad credit. My credit is no good. I don't have any credit at all. Why isn't? I haven't had credit for over 20 years. The other day, the American Express Company sent me a credit card and said, fill out this form and we will give you a credit card. I mean, that's how desperate these guys are to pump money out of the Treasury, out of the Federal Reserve, into the economy. They want to give it to deadbeats like me so that I'll go out here and spend the money and pump up the economy. My boy, Dirk, the other day got an invitation from some outfit, said, your credit's worth $400,000. If you want to buy a new house, why, you come in here and fill out our forms and we'll give you $400,000 to buy a house. This kid has never had a dime's worth of credit in his life. He doesn't even have a social security number. Never has had. Now, your government is out here pumping money out into the economy. I mentioned to you last time it moved from $3 trillion in 1987. They're moving it to $13 trillion by the end of 2005. We're going to be dealing with 25-cent dollars by the end of the year, you know, compared to 1987. So I pointed out that the Mormons have been on a subsistence and survival kick since 1870. And They've written a number of books. I said, we take a look at famine and survival in America. Howard Ruff, clear back in the 1970s, predicting this very time, 30 years ahead of his time, but, you know, better to be prepared than to get caught a day too late, you know. Better to sell your stocks a day before the market collapses than to try to sell them the day after. Well, anyway, I pointed out to you that there's 127 items that you need, at least I need, in my family planning. You know, for shoes and clothes, you know, there's four of us in the family, and so you got to have shoes for four people, clothes for four people, boots for four people. You got to have, you know, the pinto beans for four people. And for how long do you want to have this stockpile? Well, the other day, Dirk came in and he said, well, look at this. It's titled Real Simple, Phillips. It says Sense and Simplicity. And it says Surprising Expiration Dates, a handy Who Knew guide for 77 foods, beauty products, and household goods. It says certain items in your house practically scream toss me when their prime is past. That mysterious extra white layer on the cheddar, a sure sign that it needs to be put out of its misery. Chunky milk, down the drain it goes. But what about that jar of olives or maraschino cherries that has resided in your refrigerator since before the birth of your kindergartner, or the innumerable non-edibles lurking deep within your cabinets and closets? Stockpiled shampoo and toothpaste, seldom used silver polish. How do you know when their primes have passed? Well, with help from experts and product manufacturers, Real Simple has compiled a guide to expiration dates. These dates are offered as a rough guideline. The shelf lives of most products depend upon how you treat them. Edibles, unless otherwise indicated, should be stored in a cool, dry place. And, as with any food, of course, use common sense. Household cleaners also do best in a dry place with a stable temperature. After the date shown, beauty and cleaning products are probably still safe, but may be less effective. So I looked at this list over here. Dirk brought it in. He says, my God, look at this list over here. We need to throw out everything that we've got. It's past the expiration date. And I said, well, let me look at that. And sure enough, I looked at coffee down here. It says canned ground coffee, unopened, shelf life, 2 years. When it's opened, 1 month, if it's refrigerated. My God, only a Mormon could come up with a conclusion like that. Well, you know, not that I want to make fun of you Mormons, but, you know, Mormons don't drink coffee. We do here. I can tell you that from personal experience, I have coffee on the shelf right now today that I bought in 1991. Still sitting there. It's been unopened for more than 2 years. What am I supposed to do? Throw it out? What's going to go wrong with a can of coffee if it sat there for 30 years? You know, back in the days when they were doing a little archaeological research over in Egypt, did you know that they pulled honey out of the pyramids that had been there for 3,000 years and it was still good, still edible? Have you ever heard about the grains that they've pulled out of those same pyramids and some of it still sprouted? Have you not heard that olive oil has been brought up from sunken ships in sealed containers that dated back more than 2,500 years? Have you heard about the Dutch trading ships that sank and they brought peppercorns up that had been kept in sealed containers that were still good? Have you not heard of the Vikings' red butter, buried for 1,100 years, still good? Have you not heard of the mammoths that they have uncovered in the frozen Siberian tundra and then cooked and eaten it? I mean, come on, boys and girls. You know, there's this old story that says from the German point of view that one half of 1% of people, no more than 1% in the public schools, are taught to think. 6% are taught to partially think, and the other 93% are taught to follow and follow instructions. Now, last time I said, you know, there's some things that you need to store. So how long does the stuff keep that you store? Well, I said there's 127 things. I don't have time to go through everything, but I want to run through a few items here that are on this list, and I'm going to tell you from my own personal experience what I have done. and what the shelf storage life is and what my experience, I'm an old man, you know, and I've had some experience with this. Now, the Mormons that I know of, that I know of Mormons that have personally kept wheat for 30 years, and it's still just as good as the day you put it and put it away. We Americans back in the 1950s used to have silos that had wheat that was stored in them that was 11 years old, going through it on a regular cycle. The fact that wheat is last year's wheat or wheat is 11 years old is irrelevant and immaterial. Same thing with corn, soybeans. And now, that's not necessarily true with all grains. If you take whole brown rice, because of the high oil content of rice oil, well, whole brown rice will only keep for 18 months, and it goes rancid. Now, of course, you eat rancid oil every time you buy a package of Oreo cookies. We call it hydrogenated vegetable oil. So anytime you're eating hydrogenated oil, that's rancid oil. And it's bad for you, and it's going to kill you. But, hey, boys and girls, if you can eat rancid oil in Oreo cookies, why can't you eat rancid brown rice oil? What difference does it make? Now, I'm going to suggest to you that you not eat rancid oil. That's why I would suggest that you not eat Oreo cookies. Because hydrogenated oil is bad for you. You can't digest it, and it causes heart attack and stroke and a whole host and plethora of other diseases. But the logic that follows from these people telling me that I can't keep coffee, which is a dead organic product, that has been heat sealed in a can. And they say, well, it'll keep for 2 years. Let me ask you this. If it was 3 years old, what would go wrong with a can of coffee 3 years old? Does it get weevils after the second year in this sealed can? What is it that goes bad? Does it develop mold, bacteria? What is it? Well, we couldn't tell any difference here, and we're drinking coffee that was minted back in 1991. So I want to tell you that coffee is a long-term storable, I won't call it a food because it's more of a beverage, it's more of a luxury item. But during World War II, coffee was rationed. You had to have a ration card to get it. A lot of people like coffee. It's a good barter item. And during the war, people that didn't drink coffee went down and got their coffee ration ticket. People that didn't eat pork went down and got their meat ration ticket. People who didn't have an automobile went down and got their gasoline ration card. People that didn't eat sugar went down and got their sugar ration card. And then they bartered back and forth with each other. People that didn't smoke got their cigarette rationing book, and then they went down and bought their cigarettes, and then they would trade those cigarettes to somebody else that didn't eat pork, or somebody that didn't want their gasoline. So they were busily trading. This is called the black market. There will be a very vigorous black market, and you'll want that coffee or vodka or vanilla or maple syrup that you can trade with other people. And there's just nothing better to trade than whiskey and cigarettes. Whiskey and cigarettes, that's the top two trade items in any black market economy. So don't let anybody kid you now that coffee, canned, will only keep for 2 years. It has an indefinite shelf life. I don't know what the shelf life is, but I would imagine that if you can keep the tin can from rusting. Now, once the can rusts through, then moisture is going to get in. I'm sure that mold will take over and that the coffee will be spoiled. But if you can keep it airtight, and so far I've been able to do that, it'll keep indefinitely. Then they point out that there's gourmet coffee. Now listen to their argument here. It says, beans, 3 weeks in a paper bag, longer in a vacuum-sealed bag. After this time, color or flavor may be affected, but the product is still generally safe to consume. Ground, 1 week in a sealed container. Well, boys and girls, if you're talking about gourmet coffee, you're way over my head. We don't drink gourmet coffee here, and there may be something about gourmet coffee from Starbucks that loses its taste or its food value or something. I don't know. We've never had that kind of money here. We're not able to throw money away on gourmet coffee. And they may be 100% correct. But I'll tell you that Folgers or Maxwell House coffee that's in a can, sealed, you know, it's about 2 or 3 pound can, and you put it on the shelf, keep forever. And this instant coffee, up unopened, it keeps up to 2 years, opened up to 1 month. Hell, I've got this coffee, you know, that's opened on the shelf, been there for 2 or 3 months. I use it in my milk. I make a coffee drink. That unopened 2 years is preposterous. It'll keep forever. I've got instant coffee down there on the shelf that I know is 7, 8, 9 years old. Now, again, I'm going to put with unopened instant coffee in the container indefinite. Let's try another one here. They got a chocolate bar, a Hershey bar, 1 year from the production date. Well, I would imagine that that's probably true, that if you left a Hershey bar in a paper wrapper and put it in a drawer. Yeah, I could see that thing after a year might not taste too good. It might not even be edible. In fact, around here it wouldn't last a year in a drawer because a mouse would get into it. Now, if you want to eat Hershey bars after the mice have gotten into it and taken their share, you know, you can have at it. But have you ever thought about putting chocolate away in the form of those little chocolate chips into a quart mason jar with a sealed lid, vacuum packed? Well, I've got one of those vacuum packers here. Cost me $300. Boy, is it a James Dandy Wallapalooser. Here's the way that works, boys and girls. You take a mason jar and you put something in it. It could be dried apples and dried fruit. It could be chocolate chips. It could be dried bananas. In fact, right here on my desk, I've got a 1 quart mason jar with dried banana chips in it. I've got banana chips that I've dried myself that go back to 1985, 20 years old. And I can open those sealed mason jars today and pull those banana chips out. And I could give you banana chips from 1985 and put banana chips that I just took off of my dehydrator today. And I'll bet you $50 you couldn't tell the difference. Sure as hell couldn't tell the difference in age. So the idea that there's a shelf life for food has some real basis. If it's not stored very well, if it's not in a sealed container, if you've got it in paper bags, I could see that it's probably not going to keep very well. But I've got chocolate chips, boys and girls, that have been on the shelf for 20 years. They go back to 1985 also. I got peanut butter chips, chocolate chips, and butterscotch chips. Now here's what happens to your chocolate chips. When they go in, they're pretty dark, but as they sit in the jar for 20 years, they get lighter, and they got a white coating on them. Now you put those white-coated chocolate chips into cookies and cook them in the oven, and then do a batch with some chocolate chips that you bought yesterday, and I'll just bet you couldn't tell the difference in taste. And there can't be any weevils, moths, or any bacteria or anything else that gets in there to spoil it. Man, what's going to get into a sealed, vacuum-packed mason jar? So let me tell you in plain language that these concepts that these people, this may be good for manufacturers. I mean, I once talked to a guy one time, and he was a Mormon fella, and his wife died, and his Mormon wife had a pretty good food storage program on, and they had two daughters and a son. Well, the two daughters came into Mama's house, and they took a look at all these canned goods that this lady had stored away. And they saw that the expiration dates, they were all out of date, and so they threw all of it out. Put it out on the curb and let the garbage man haul it away. Well, let me tell you something about a can of string beans or a can of pork and beans or whatever it is that you got over here. 80% of the food value was destroyed in the canning process. All you've got left is the minerals and fiber. That's it. Bulk and minerals. So canned food is really the poorest form of food storage that there is. But it is a long-term food storage program. So let me show you how this works. It is true that cans do not keep as long as jars. And so I've got some experience here, and I can tell you that if you've got canned pumpkin, once it gets 5 years old in the cans, sitting on the shelf, the cans will deteriorate from the inside out because of the acid content in the pumpkin. And it's easy enough to tell because the can becomes bulged. In other words, the can is concave. And when the air gets into it, it loses its vacuum seal and it becomes convex. So if you push on the top or bottom of a can and it pushes down, well, then the can has already been unsealed and you throw it out. That's the way you tell whether the can has become unsealed or not. In fact, if you'll look on bottles, you know, it says, you know, button. You know, if it's down, it is still sealed. If it's up, it's been unsealed. Well, if it's unsealed, its shelf life is pretty well shot. I've got things out here like V8 juice and vegetable juice and berry juice and all kinds of juices that go back 10, 15 years without any problem at all. They're in glass bottles. They've got steel lids. The steel lids are coated with enamel. I mean, I don't know how long that stuff will keep, but 3,000 years from now, I mean, you could stick that stuff in a time capsule, come back in 100, 200 years, and you wouldn't have lost anything. So canned food isn't very good to start with, but don't be, you know, deceived by manufacturers who want you to throw it out so you have to buy more. Now, God told you, He said, you know, I'll make your harvest time. You'll be eating the old store because you won't have room to put all of the new store that comes in. We eat a lot of old store here. And that biblical prophecy or that biblical promise comes to pass. Brown sugar, indefinite shelf life, stored in moisture-proof container in a cool, dry place. Wait a minute. Let me tell you a little story. I took a bunch of brown sugar and I put it in plastic containers, 1 gallon plastic containers, and put it up in the attic and the rats ate right through the plastic containers. Alright, so let me tell you. Anything that's stored in a plastic container is up for grabs. So I avoid plastic. Stick with glass and steel. Never seen a rat yet that could get into a glass mason jar or who could get into a steel can. Haven't seen any of them eat through aluminum cans either, but I don't like aluminum cans because I think Alzheimer's disease comes from that aluminum that leaches into the food, just like in the old days they used lead cans and the lead leached into the food from the lead can. Gives you lead poisoning. But let me tell you that brown or white sugar or powdered sugar will keep forever. Store it in glass jars. That's the way to store that. And then listen, these glass jars are pretty cheap. You take all of the glass bottles that you buy. You know, let's say, for instance, that you go to the grocery store and you buy some Ragu spaghetti sauce. That's a 1-quart jar. Did you know that? Now, that 1-quart jar is worth 50 cents. You paid 50 cents for that jar when you paid that $2.67 for that Ragu spaghetti sauce. 50 cents of that was the jar. Well, you might as well use the jar. So you run it through the dishwasher and you put your white sugar in that Ragu jar. And then you just reseal it. It doesn't have to be vacuum packed. It doesn't have to be sealed. White sugar is indestructible. It's not even a food. It's a condiment. It's a luxury item. You'd be better off without it, but you know, you can't live without it because you're addicted to sugar. So put your sugar in those Ragu jars. How about beer? They say here, beer, when it's unopened, it has a shelf life of four months. Could you tell me what in the hell can go wrong with beer? Now, honest to God, I don't know how long beer will keep because I've never had beer around long enough to tell you that it'll keep for 5 years. You know, that's a consumable. But I've got some beer here that's a year old, and I've got some Coca-Cola in the glass bottles. Not plastic now, but glass bottles. That goes back to 1988. And there's a reason for having that Coca-Cola. It has to do with gallstones. So sometimes you need a little of that poison because it's got a high acid content. That Coca-Cola happens to be a product that you might be able to use, but I've got it in glass bottles. So just tuck that one away. Now they say diet soda and soft drinks in plastic bottles unopened 3 months from the best buy date and opened. It doesn't spoil, but the taste is effective. Well, certainly it goes flat. Here's my experience. I had a bunch of Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and so on in aluminum cans. Came back 5 years later, and the cans are just empty. Empty. And you say, well, where in the hell can that go? Well, evidently, there must have developed a hole, and it evaporated out of the cans. So I can tell you that soda pop in cans, aluminum cans, does not keep. Well, not for long-term storage. Not that you'd want to store very much of it anyway, because it's not fit for man or beast. But moral of the story is they're right about that. And I've tried this soda in these 2-liter plastic bottles. That stuff won't keep for a year. It loses its seal, and the stuff goes flat. So I wouldn't try to store that. But here's what you do. If you can get soda pop, and if the soda is in bottles, here's the way I've got it. Go to the health food store and you can get soda pops such as root beer. I got a bunch of root beer out here on the shelf. It's in glass bottles, you know, with a cap on top. It's been there for many years. You know, sometimes you might want to make some root beer floats or something like that. Have a little special treat. And there you've got it. Let's try dried pasta. That's spaghetti and noodles and things like that. They tell us that it's got a 12-month shelf life. Okay, well, let me show you how to store that stuff for 12 to 24 years. You take the pasta, and you take it out of those cellophane containers. Or you can leave it in the cellophane container, depending upon what kind of a bucket you put it in. But I like to put it into 5-gallon plastic buckets. 5-gallon plastic buckets. And then I store it with diatomaceous earth. Have you ever heard of diatomaceous earth? Because here's what happens to all grains, including processed flour and processed noodles and spaghetti and things like that. Weevils get into it. Now, weevils are just little bugs that spin webs and turn into moths. And you'll open a container, and you look inside the container, and it's full of all kind of icky stuff on the top. And you look at the grains of wheat, and they have been eaten out. All that's left is the hull, and there's like spider webs all over the top. Well, that's weevils. Now, that doesn't mean that all of it has been infested with weevils, because they can only eat that stuff that's on the top. So you can scoop off what's on the top, and what's underneath is still good. But here's the way you beat the weevils. You put the wheat into 5-gallon buckets, and down at the bottom you put a teaspoon of diatomaceous earth. And then you put in, a gallon of wheat, and you put in another teaspoon of diatomaceous earth. You put in about a teaspoon of diatomaceous earth for each gallon. It can be as much as or as little as a quart, but a gallon is satisfactory. Or about 6 teaspoons in a 5-gallon bucket, and you sprinkle it across the top. And what happens is that this diatomaceous earth kills the weevils, but it's harmless to you. Listen to this story. Safe for your family, pets, and environment, diatomaceous earth, if mined from fossilized deposits of shells formed by tiny diatoms, they're single-celled plants of the sea that are millions of years old. National Geographic reports death comes within hours after insects venture into the diatomaceous earth. And that's because they pierce their skins or their waxy shells on the sharp edges of the diatoms, silica shells, and they die of dehydration. Now, this product is completely safe to use, and because of its trace mineral content, it is good for the animals, plants, and the environment. As a spray for roses, 1 cup to 2 gallons of water in a sprayer. For poultry, 1 tablespoon per gallon of feed. When given to horses, it adds minerals to their diet. It helps kill intestinal parasites, and it keeps the flies down in the manure. Diatomaceous earth can be added to your food storage to keep out the weevils. It takes a few days to kill all of the fleas on your dogs and cats. Dust the animal bedding and outside the front door, and it will not harm your carpets, but it will be a white dust to vacuum. If rain washes away diatomaceous earth, it must be reapplied. Diatomaceous earth can be added to stored grains at 7 pounds per ton, or 1 ounce per bushel, or 1 teaspoon per quart. It will keep the bugs out for an indefinite period and will not harm the grain. And then when you eat it, it becomes a dewormer for you. Now that's the way we deal with weevils in the grain and with the pasta. So you take that pasta and you put it in the buckets. And you sprinkle the diatomaceous earth over it. Don't take it out of the plastic wrap. Just leave it right in that cellophane wrap. Then pack it in the buckets. Sprinkle the diatomaceous earth over it. And that'll keep the weevils. Well, it'll kill the weevils. There's always weevils. And when those weevils hatch out, the key to storing grain is keep it below 9% more moisture. Pack it in diatomaceous earth, and you can also pack it with inert gas, you know, like, what kind of gas do they use? Like, carbon dioxide gas is one. And there's a couple other nitrogen gas. You can buy those from your welding supply dealer. And you just fill the bucket with the gas, and, that gets the air out, and then you pour in the grain with the hose in the bottom while it's running as you pour the grain in. By the time that thing fills to the top, all of the oxygen, all of the air has been forced out. And then you pull the hose out, slip the lid over it, and there you've got it stored in an oxygen-free environment. And there's also an oxygen pack that you can stick these little packets of iron oxide in there, and it absorbs the oxygen in the container. And where do you get this kind of information? Well, you get information like that from books like Don't Get Caught with Your Pantry Down and Beginner's Guide to Family Preparedness. And you can probably buy these. I'll tell you what you do. Just call your local Mormon church and tell them you're looking for a Beginner's Guide to Family Preparedness, and I'll bet you they'll tell you where to get it. You'd probably find some of these books in health food stores. But let me tell you where to buy this one. This is Family Preparedness by Rosalie Mason, published in 1993 by Horizon Publishers and Distributors Incorporated, P.O. Box 490, Bountiful, Utah, 84011-0490. Let's try that again. Horizon Publishers and Distributors Incorporated, P.O. Box 490, Bountiful, Utah, 84011-0490. That's the zip code. Now, these aren't the only books. I just happened to pull 3 out of my library that I'm going to share with you. I've probably got 50 that I've collected over the years. And the number one people in the business are the Mormons. If there's anybody else that's comparable, I don't know who they are. We'll take a look at frozen dinners and ketchup and a few other items here, and I'll show you what the shelf life is on some of this stuff. And in my subsistence and survival school, we have 500 pages of material that goes through and itemizes these items for you, and will give you that kind of information. Now, here's the way you store it. Like honey has an indefinite shelf life. Well, not if you leave it open. Hell, the ants get in it. There's just nothing more disgusting than to reach over and pull over the honey bottle, and somebody didn't put the lid on it, and it's full of dead ants floating around on the top of it now, and 5,500 of them scurrying around in 14 directions. So the key is in how did you store it? Now, if you're storing it like it comes out of the grocery store, that isn't going to fly. Long-term storage requires some knowledge in how to produce and to store for long term. And when I talk about long term, I'm talking 20, 30 years. Do you get that? 20 or 30 years. I can store honey for 30 years. I can store pasta, coffee. I can store almost anything, dried fruits, for 30 years. Now, there's some things you can't store. Hang on, I've got to give you a reminder here. Otherwise, the producer gets mad at me. Keep in mind that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, economics, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program and often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are, in fact, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed necessarily by the Law Hour and Editorial Review or vice versa. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, just go to our webpage, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about food storage. How long does this stuff keep? All right, frozen dinners, unopened, 12 to 18 months. I don't know. I've got a freezer out here. Mainly I put meat in my freezer, but we put frozen food in there. I've never seen anything spoil in a freezer. I can't imagine that if I put in a package of broccoli, and I can tell you right now, I'm looking right out my door here, and I'm looking at my greenhouse, and I can see a freezer out there. And I know for a fact that there's stuff in that freezer, it's a chest type, down at the bottom. I mean, there's stuff that has not seen daylight for at least 10 years. And I'm going to be amazed if there's anything in that freezer that's unedible. Now, there is a problem with freezing, and I'll share that with you, and that's this. It dehydrates. If you put bread in the freezer and you leave it there for a few months, you'll notice that there is a lot of ice inside the paper bag and the bread is stale. Well, the moisture that's in the bread leaches out and it freezes in little crystals inside the bread package. Bread, I discovered, doesn't keep indefinitely frozen in the freezer. Meat can develop what's known as freezer burn. That's where there's air pockets in the freezer package that then develops from the oxygen. It freezes and it makes a discoloration on the meat. I don't know that it affects its nutritional value. It might, I don't know. We typically feed that to the dog when it, when it comes up, but it's very rarely if it's packaged correctly. I've got meat out here from an old bull that I called Rip Nose. He had a ring in his nose and ripped it out one time. We called him Rip Nose. Well, I killed old Rip Nose, and I know that I've got ribs out there that are still in that freezer. One of these days I might eat some more Rip Nose, but bottom line is the stuff doesn't freeze because it's been in the freezer. So this 18 to 24 months, I find it hard to believe. There's some things more than likely that won't keep out there in the freezer. Bread's one. Meat sometimes develops freezer burn, but the broccoli and the other things, frozen corn, hey, as far as I can tell, that stuff keeps forever. Honey has an indefinite shelf life. Juice bottled, they say 8 months from the production date. Hell, I know that I've got fruit juice out there 10, 15 years old. And we still drink it from time to time. Now, I can't tell any difference in juice that's 10 years old from juice that we bought the other day. So if you can, well, that's more power to you. But what difference does it make when you're starving to death? You're going to play gourmet? You're going to play Julia Child? There's a story in the Bible where a woman paid 50 shekels of silver for a donkey's head. It's unclean food to start with, and a crummy donkey's head? Head? How much meat do you think you're going to get off a donkey's head that you paid 50 ounces of silver for? At $7 an ounce, let's try 50 times 7. That equals $350. Now take 350 times 0.67, and the number is $234.50. That woman paid $234.50 in today's dollars for a crummy donkey head in a famine in Jerusalem. Ketchup, unopened, 1 year after this time. Color or flavor may be affected, but the product is still generally safe to consume. Opened or used 4 to 6 months. After this time, color or flavor may be affected, but product is still generally safe to consume. Well, I got ketchup out here that dates 1991, and then I take a bottle off every once in a while. Now, I don't use very much of it, but, you know, I got about 20 bottles of it years ago, and I use a bottle maybe, you know, once a year. I got a 20-year supply of it for me. Maple syrup, real or imitation, 1 year? Oh, no. Maple syrup keeps forever just like honey. I've got lots of it out here. Now, here's the trick. Maple syrup develops mold on the top of it when it's opened. All you got to do is just scoop that mold off the top. It doesn't go down to the bottom. If it bothers you, throw it out. But it doesn't bother me, so I scoop the mold off the top when it's in the refrigerator. And that's because we don't use that imitation maple here. We buy the real stuff, and we pay an arm and a leg for it. You know, it comes out of Canada. It's pretty expensive stuff. Maple syrup. Real maple syrup. But in the jugs that we buy it in, it's sealed in those jugs. It's heat sealed. There's no bacteria or mold in there. As long as that's sealed, it'll keep in there forever. Maraschino cherries and marshmallows. Hey, listen, maraschino cherries aren't fit for man or beast, and neither are marshmallows. I wouldn't eat either one of them. Mayonnaise, unopened. They've got indefinitely on there. Hey, I'm going to make a little exception to that. Now, I've got some mayonnaise out here and some Miracle Whip. I got some Miracle Whip that goes back, I don't know, you know, 10 years anyway. And some mayonnaise that goes back 10 years. And that stuff separates. Kind of like peanut butter. Now, there's just nothing that's nastier looking than separated mayonnaise. Now, I would imagine that you could probably take that separated mayonnaise, and you could probably put it in the blender and beat it up and put it back into its original configuration. But I can tell you that I don't keep very much mayonnaise on the shelf for very long periods of time. Now, they say here that it's indefinite, and so I'm not going to argue with them. It probably is, but boy, that's pretty nasty looking stuff, don't you think? If you want to test it, just put a jar of mayonnaise over on the shelf, let it sit there for 5 years, and then come back and, you know, take a look at that and then ask yourself, do I want to eat that? So my vote on that one is no. Mustard, 2 years. Hey, this mustard doesn't even separate. I've got mustard out here that dates back for many, many years. And mustard comes in about, I don't know, 15 or 20 different varieties. I got a shelf out here with mustard on it. Now, one faction of the family likes that gray poupon. Another faction likes Dijon. Another faction likes that French yellow mustard. That's me. I'm the French yellow mustard kid. And I've got that mustard been sitting out there on the shelf for many, many years. not just 2 years. I'm talking 10, 15 years. Nothing wrong with that mustard. And the mustard that will keep longer if you keep it in glass jars. So when you buy that mustard, try to buy it in glass jars with a steel lid so that the rats don't eat it. It's not that the rats are going to eat the mustard, but the rats will chew through the plastic containers. Now, I've had that happen. Now, they don't get all the plastic containers, but when I see a plastic container that's got rat chew marks on it, I throw that out. And that's because the Bible tells you that that's a health standard that you want to follow. And rats and mice are pretty gross little critters, and they carry some pretty nasty diseases. And, of course, you want to keep your storage area free of rats and mice. Let me tell you how to do that. I put poison out in the storeroom. You know, we have a pantry here. And in our storeroom that we live on, you know, from year to year, I keep electrical impulse machines. I think there's three of them in there. You buy these at the hardware store, and it gives off an electrical sound. I don't know what the sound is because it's ultra high frequency sound. And rats and mice hate it, and they'll leave. They won't come in. That's number one. That's not true because I've got three of them out there in the storeroom, and a pack rat came in about a month ago. So to back up those, now I haven't seen any mice out there, but you know, there might be areas of the storeroom where this ultrasound doesn't get to them. But if the ultrasound doesn't keep them out, then the next line of defense is the poison bait. So for rats, I have the bars, and for the mice, I have the little containers called Decon. And I probably put out 10 of those in there. And I change those about once a year. Once a year, I change the poison bait. Then I got a third backup, third one. I put out about three rat traps and four or five mouse traps scattered around. And I bait those mouse traps with chocolate. Rats and mice just can't. They just can't. They can't pass up chocolate. And I have no rats and no mice. Those three forms will keep them out of there. And that's an absolute must because many of the products that you've got are going to be stored in plastic containers. They've gone from glass to plastic and a lot of things. So I try to buy everything that I can in glass. But, you know, if you can't get it in glass containers, well, then plastic's the next thing, isn't it? All right. So now you got to keep that plastic, those light plastic containers, out of the mouths of the rats and mice. Olive oil. Here was a good one. They say 2 years from manufacturing date. After this time, the color or flavor may be affected, but the product is still generally safe to consume. Boy, am I going to take exception. I pointed this out to you last time. Containers sealed, buried in shipwrecks in the Mediterranean for 2,000-3,000 years. Comes up and the stuff's just as good as the day it went down. So we only use, for practical purposes, I've got some other oils out here, but for practical purposes, we only use virgin olive oil. Now we use about a gallon a month here. A gallon a month. It's about a quarter a week of olive oil. We use it on salads. We use it in cooking, and you know, we just use it. So a 5-year supply is going to be around 60 gallons, isn't it? 60 gallons of olive oil. Well, listen, this olive oil keeps for a long time. And during World War II, oil was in short supply, and that's why everybody was saving their bacon grease. I can remember my granny to this day, boy, when she'd cook up bacon, she'd pour that grease off into a coffee can, empty a coffee can. She saved that bacon grease. And that's because fat was hard to come by. I mean, you couldn't just go down there and buy olive oil and Crisco, you know. You had to use lard. That's what the old-timers used to use, is that lard. Not that that's fit for man or beast, but I'm just telling you. So, tuck that one away in your heart. Olive oil keeps forever. And these other oils, a lot of them, the vegetable oils, they're hydrogenated and they're not good for you anyway. Olive oil you'll find in the Bible. If it's good enough for Moses, it's good enough for me. Peanuts, unopened 1 to 2 years unless frozen or refrigerated. I was going to mention these nuts to you. Now, nuts are full of oil. Nuts are full of oil. I don't know of any nuts that will keep longer than a year. And even nuts, when they get to be a year old, they get a pretty nasty taste to them. You know, you take pecans in the shells, a year old. When they're fresh, boy, they're delicious. A year old, they're not quite so good. Sometimes you get some pretty nasty ones. So what you do is you take those nuts and you freeze them. And here's another neat little trick. If you want to keep those nuts from losing their moisture content, you freeze them in vacuum-packed bags. So you vacuum-pack them in bags first, or you could vacuum-pack them in mason jars and then put them in the freezer. And it doesn't lose anything then, and it'll keep, as far as I can tell, probably forever. They got peanut butter, natural. Well, natural peanut butter is the only peanut butter that you want. If you want to buy Jif and other homogenized, manufactured, industrial peanut butter, it's up to you. It doesn't separate, but this natural peanut butter does separate, just like the mayonnaise does. So you need to get used to that one. Like it or lump it, natural peanut butter is going to separate. But I got peanut butter out here in 5-gallon containers, 10 years old. This peanut butter can be a very valuable source of protein if you get cut off from meat. Now, you can rest assured that meat and all fats are going to be rationed. So, unless you've got your own meat, unless you've got, like I do, hair, you know, I have my own dairy cows, and so I've got access to my own butter, butter fat, meat, milk, butter, and eggs. But if you're living in the city, this peanut butter is a real neat way for you to store protein. And it'll keep at room temperature forever, but it separates. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to take this 5-gallon bucket of peanut butter, and you pour the oil off, and then you dig out the hard peanuts down below it that doesn't have any peanut oil left in it. And you stick that in the blender, and you pour in a little peanut oil, and you just pour in as much peanut oil along with the hard stuff in the bottom. You scoop out this hard, so you're going to have to take a knife. You might need a pick to dig it out. It gets pretty packed in there. Put that in the blender. And you just add the olive oil to the consistency if you want. If you want thin, runny, gooey peanut butter, put in a little more oil. If you want the stuff to be stiffer and harder, you know, that tears the bread, well, then don't put in quite so much oil. And then you reconstitute it. It's what you do. And that peanut butter, as far as I can tell, keep forever. And there's other nut butters you can get, you know, like soy nut butter, almond butter, a cashew butter. I mean, I got a bunch of them out here on the shelf, and they're all pretty tasty. And all of them separate. Now, they got another line here that says peanut butter processed, like Jif, unopened 2 years. Oh, no, no. Now, that Jif homogenized peanut butter will keep. It won't separate, and it'll keep for 35 years. I mean, that stuff's indestructible. Pickles, unopened 18 months. They got a point there. Not quite right. I had some pickles here that ate through the lids on the jars. So, not all of them now, just some of them. So evidently there was a little pinprick in the paint on the lid. And then the acid in the pickles ate through the lid. And of course, that makes your pickles, it doesn't mean that your pickles are no good. It just means that the seal has been broken. But, you know, pickles are normally sealed in crocks and just covered with vinegar, and that's what you got in there is vinegar. Now, vinegar has to be stored in plastic jugs. So here's the way I stored vinegar. And they say it only keeps 42 months. Boys and girls, I'm not sure these people's brains are still functioning. They sound like they're brain dead. Vinegar is a preservative. Did you know that? Vinegar is the end product of fermentation. Wine, you know, when it turns to vinegar, vinegar is the end product of wine making. If it goes too far, it turns to vinegar. Apple juice, if it goes too far, it goes to vinegar. That's why they call it apple cider vinegar. Well, what's this vinegar going to do? Turn back to wine? Turn back to grape juice? But what's going to happen when vinegar spoils? Does it turn back to whole apples on the tree? Does it turn back to apple juice? I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real. That's what we call brine. And in the old days, before refrigeration, you used to pour the vinegar over the cucumbers. That's why they're called pickles. So you had a crock. A crock. That's a big, big jar. It's a big mason jar. And you just pour the vinegar over the top of them, and they'll keep. You just reach down through the vinegar and pull them out, and you take them out and eat them. And so brine is the way that you store things. Meat's done the same way. You take a pig, kill it, cook it, you know, cut it up into chunks, cook it in its own lard. We go out in the backyard, and we take a wash tub and build a fire, you know, with some rocks around it, and just build a fire out of wood fire. And cook the pig in his own lard. And then take the pig meat, put it into a milk can, and then pour the lard, that is the pig grease, over the top of it to seal out the air, the oxygen. How long will a pig keep in a milk can? I don't know, but I know it keeps a year. I'm sure it'll keep 2 or 3 years. Hell, it may keep 5 or 10. Water glass, when you put fresh eggs into a crock pot, and then you fill it with water glass. I personally ate eggs, cracked the shells, and cooked the eggs that came out of water glass, 5 years old. You know, they talk about eggs, 100-year-old eggs. Far as I can tell, eggs will keep indefinitely in water glass. Far as I can tell, meat will keep indefinitely as long as it's buried in the lard. Now, of course, we don't eat pig. We don't eat unclean meat. But I'm just pointing out that when we talk about long-term storage, you know, these guys here are evidently been to college. The only thing I can figure. Pickles, unopened 18 months. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know that pickles will keep until the lid rusts off, and that's 10, 15 years. Rice, white rice, 2 years. That's nonsense. White rice has no nutritional value left in it. White rice is nothing left but fiber. There's no, hell, even rats won't eat white rice. They're smarter than that. They're smarter than people. White rice will keep forever. You just have to keep it dry. Even the weevils won't eat white rice. I got white rice that I never put anything in. Been sitting on the shelf out here for 10 or 15 years. It's brown rice that will not keep much longer than 18 months. Brown rice. Now, I've got a couple of packages of white rice out here. You might want to have some white rice that'll kind of fill you up while you're putting some meat and potatoes on the plate. So I'll give you a few ideas. We'll take this up next time. I'm about out of time. We'll take this up. What is it that keeps and what doesn't keep? And I'll share a few more hints and ideas with you on this thing called subsistence and survival when we come back next time. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, our Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio logs, our schedule, and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. All right, I'm out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.